We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Good morning, my friends. Now, I feel that maybe I haven't been doing my duty. I enjoy sitting down and saying something in a little practical, philosophical way, discussing a problem and just visiting with the people. And yet, somehow or other, I've been under conviction here lately. I don't feel like that I have given the emphasis I should have given to the orthodox position. Now, Bob Jones University was founded for that purpose. It was founded to be an orthodox institution and to draw a line and keep the line clearly and definitely drawn. As a matter of fact, we can't operate this school any other way, as I've told you before. But I've been doing a great deal of thinking here lately, and I've run into so many things over the country. And I found out so many people don't seem to know what the issue is all about. And I thought it's my duty to bring some very clear-cut, definite messages so all of the Christian people, good folks, could understand. You know, we Christian people are not suspicious people. We are not going around trying to smell something bad. We're not going around trying to find something bad. It's not that. But we go along, and the devil always operates in a secret, secretive kind of way. He comes as an angel of light. We Christian people don't operate that way. So many people don't realize what's going on. Now, I myself, though I've stood and fought and preached through the years, have never realized before what a mess this country's getting in spiritually. Just a few days ago, I noticed an article by Dr. James M. Gray. I think it came out about 1924. It's entitled Controversy, Compromise, or Consent, Which? Now, Dr. James M. Gray, Dean of the Moody Bible Institute at that time, and by the way, a man who wrote this article in the Moody Monthly, was one of the most wonderful men I've ever known. When I think of great men, I think of him. I think he was the clearest thinker as a Bible preacher I've ever known. I've never known a man that was more down to the earth or practical or that thought more clearly than Dr. Gray. I was a young fellow when I first came to know him. He was a personal friend of mine. He was very kind to me. I admired him as I admired very few men. Dr. Gray, in this article, I wish everybody had it to read it. I haven't got but this one copy here. Now, Dr. Gray, in this article, quotes from an editorial, The Christian Century, came out on January 3rd, 1924. It's a very wonderful statement. Now, remember, the statement I'm quoting is made by a modernist or a religious liberal. Dr. Gray is simply quoting it, and I want you to notice it. Now, here's what this religious liberal says. Christianity, according to fundamentalism, is one religion. Christianity, according to modernism, is another religion. Now, fundamentalists didn't say that. I can agree with a man about it. But fundamentalists didn't say that. Dr. Gray is quoting a liberal. There weren't many liberals in those days. But this is what one of the leading liberals of America said. He said, which is a true religion is a question that is to be settled in all probability by our generation for further generations. Now, here's a man that says we're going to probably settle in this generation. Now, this is 1924. He said, this generation is going to settle. Which is a true religion, modernism or fundamentalism? I said, they're not the same at all. There's a clash here as profound and as grim as between Christianity and Confucianism. In other words, he said, you just will try to harmonize Confucianism and Christianity. You just will try to make up with Confucianism. Now, I didn't say that, man. I agree with him, but this is what a modernist said. Now, he said, you just will try to harmonize Confucianism and Christianity as to harmonize modernism and fundamentalism. There's a clash as profound, as grim as between Christianity and Confucianism. Amiable words cannot hide the difference. Blessed be the tie may be sung till doomsday, but it cannot bind these worlds together. Now, he said you just can't be both. You can't be a liberal, religious liberal, and a religious conservative. You can't be a fundamentalist, you can't be a modernist. You're one or the other. The God of the fundamentalist, he says, is one God. The God of the modernist is another. My, that's striking, isn't it? The God of the fundamentalists is one God. The God of the modernists is another God. Now, the God of Bob Jones University, that's an old-time fundamental institution, and the God of a religious liberal institution is not the same God at all. This liberal says that, see, and I agree with him. He's right about it. The Christ of the fundamentalist is one Christ, and the Christ of modernism is another. Now, that's clear. They don't even have the same Christ. Now, that's what this liberal says. He said, we don't have the same Christ. These fundamentalists have. The Bible of fundamentalism is one Bible, and the Bible of modernism is another. He says we don't even have the same Bible. We don't believe the same book. It's an entirely different proposition. The church, the kingdom, the salvation, the consummation of all things, these are one things to fundamentalists, another thing to modernists. Now, go ahead now. Which God is a Christian God? Which Christ is a Christian Christ? Which Bible is a Christian Bible? Which church, which kingdom, which salvation, which consummation are the Christian church, the Christian salvation, the Christian consummation, the future will tell. Now, he said it'll have to be decided. And he said it would probably be decided in this generation. Now, that was in 1924. Now, many women in those days, a line was definitely and clearly drawn. This man took the position. Dr. Gray agreed with him on it. Everybody agreed. It's not the same at all. The Bible is the Word of God, or it contains the Word of God, maybe. It can't be both. You can't be on both sides. You can't run with the hounds and the hare. You can't run with the fundamentalists and modernists. You'll make up your mind. You just will try to be a Confucian, go run with Confucianism and Christianity to do that. Now, that was the agreement in 1924. All right. Now, what's happened? Well, little by little, they've tried to rub out the line, see. We've gone ahead through the years. Little by little, they've tried to rub out this line now, see. And to try to make it appear that the fundamentalists are fighters and they shouldn't be, see. Now, the modernists here failed in this kind of approach. They didn't get along there because the people in this country realized that the Bible must be God's book, and he went ahead. So then he comes around another way and says, now, we'll do this. We'll be sweet. We'll take up the term to theology. We'll go along together. Now, that's what they're doing. They're using the same terms. They're saying you have to be born again, and we ought to be a Christian, come to Christ, and all that, see. And yet it's the same old satanic influence at work against the Bible. It's an effort to harmonize two things that can never be harmonized. Now, you're either a fundamentalist or you're a modernist. You're either a Bible Christian or you're not a Christian. You can't get the two together. So let's understand that. Now, Dr. Gray goes on and discusses this in an intelligent, constructive way. Dr. Gray's dead and gone. And Dr. Gray was on one side, that was the orthodox side. This century man he quoted is on the other side. Now, we've come to bad days in this country, serious days, dangerous days. We have never been in as great peril religiously as we are now. Now, when that line was drawn in those days, people knew what it meant and knew which side to take. So there was no question about it. Up and down this country, men like Bishop Cannell, who was one of the great men of America, went up and down this country and made an attack on the modernistic proposition. You remember some of you old-time Methodists, how Bishop Cannell made an attack on Vanderbilt University because he said it had gone modernistic, and there was a Methodist school. And his brother, Mr. Asa Cannell, with Coca-Cola fame, put up, I think it was $1 million to open a college in Georgia. The line was drawn, they accepted it. So, up and down this country, all the Baptist preachers and all the Presbyterian preachers, everybody else, said, that's right. The line's drawn. The modernists are trying to take us over. Then, little by little, ecclesiastical machinery began to operate. And little by little, they slipped in, see. That's the way it always happens. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, see. Satan slipped in, see. He came in there, and the form was serpent. Now, don't get the wrong idea of the serpent. The serpent wasn't a slimy creature crawling on the ground. That serpent was the most charming, most subtle beast of the field. Now, God Almighty came from heaven to earth and clothed himself in the form of man. Now, this devil, this fallen angel, Lucifer, clothed himself in the form of a serpent, not a crawling creature, not that. He went to the Garden of Eden with strange charm, see. And he set up the devil's system of religion, see. It's man's reasoning, man's conclusion instead of God's word. Now, God has said, don't eat this fruit. If you do, see, if you do, you'll die. Devil came along and said, that's wrong. You can't pay attention to what God said, see. No way to pay attention to that. You don't be up now, listen, don't pay attention to that. Now, God said that, but, you know, God knows better than that. So through the instrumentality of this serpent that had the power of speech and had charm, the most subtle beast of the field, he took over man and woman, the first people that God ever made. He established in that garden his religious system, which is a system of death, see? All right. Now God steps into this garden and puts a curse on the serpent. And you see a snake crawling now. Don't get the wrong idea, but there's still a lot of charm. There's nothing more charming and subtle than even sometimes a serpent. I remember seeing little birds when they were charming. Strange something, very wonderful grace. But there's a curse. Now, it should crawl on the ground in the dust, as in eat dust. All right, the woman was to go out in the world, and she was to bring forth children in great sorrow, see. The man should rule over her, and the man should earn his bread by the sweat of the brow. All right, now you've had two religious systems all down the way. Now, here's one of them now. One is the devil's religious system, that he sold a man and woman in the Garden of Eden. Now, what is that system? That is that you don't have to pay attention to what God says. Be all your own God and do your own thinking and work out your own plans. And man went out to do that, and through the years he's built empires and they've crumbled. He's built homes and they've been destroyed. He set up religious systems and it's become modernistic, and God would raise up some prophet somewhere, or the religious system would go dead. Somebody, some boys like Martin Luther, or somebody like John Calvin, or somebody like Wesley and Whitfield go out and shake the thing and begin to call people back to God. Now, there's a battle on this world. It's a terrible, terrific battle. Now, Christians don't hate people. Christians don't hate people. But, you know, God put enmity, that is, one against the other. Now, let's read this here in Genesis just for a minute. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now listen, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Now that's between the serpent and the woman, or the devil who was in the form of a serpent, and the woman. Now listen, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now Jesus Christ was the seed of the woman. He was not the seed of a man. I meant to discuss with you the virgin birth, but I don't think I'll have time to get to it. Now, here it is, the first inkling that God was going to have a son, and this son would be the seed of a woman. It didn't say about Adam now, between the seed of the woman and the serpent. Now, God said he'd put enmity between her seed and thy seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, the Christian in this world is in the world, but not of it. He's going through it. Now, the seed of the woman that's going on here, there'll be enmity between her, the seed of the woman, the religion of the woman, because the woman failed, see. This religious system was set up through a woman back there. It was a woman. But God Almighty brought into this world, through a woman, his son, a virgin, conceived, bore a child. All right. Now, this enmity is on. Now, you just well to top all this effort to try to harmonize. You can't have the friendship of the world without having the enmity of God. The friendship of the world is enmity to God. This is a battle of the ages. It's a battle between God's religion and the religion of the world. The religion of the devil. Religion system. Now, I won't say to you Bible-believing Christians that Bob Jones University takes a Bible side in this controversy. We believe whatever it says is so. And the Bible's the only book that tells me who God is. And I cannot make up with the other crowd. I'm not going to try, because I'd have to go back on Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be true in every relationship. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.